Thank you, Jimmy and Nicole. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 27 is where we'll be. Acts 27. We'll do a little bit of reading tonight because Brother Muncy said this morning that you're not reading enough. So we'll read a little bit, more this evening and see if we can get a few verses in here. about Paul and his journey on a ship here, and something that probably most Christians are familiar with if you've read this story and Paul's journey here as he's on his way to Rome. And we'll read down about verse 11. Just start in verse 1. It says, "And when it was determined," in chapter 27, verse 1, "that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship, at Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia and came to Myra, city of Lycia, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, and the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives.' Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the writings and that are here, and Lord, how they admonish us, and God, how you use them to sculpt us and shape our lives. I just pray tonight, Lord, as we look upon this portion of Scripture, that, Lord, you'd help me to, speak, Lord, as you would have me to speak and say the things that need to be said. May you get all the honor and the glory from it, and, Lord, may your people be better for it, and, Lord, walk out knowing that they've been to church this evening and today, and God, thankful for their Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I make my prayer. Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, and like I said, many of you have read it, familiar with it. You know that Paul's just give his defense before Agrippa and told Agrippa, you know, "Believest thou what I say?" And one of the famous portions of Scripture that people preach on and things that are there. But now he's on his way to Rome. And as I was just reading, finishing a book that I just read here not too long ago, the book had to do with this portion of Scripture and how this portion of Scripture related to your King James Bible and why we believe on the King James Bible and how God has preserved his word down through the centuries and down through time. And I'm not going to take what I read in that book and use it as the portion of Scripture on the King James Bible. I want to apply it to your Christian life because there's some practical applications to what happened on this voyage with Paul that we can use in our Christian lives that I got ideas out of that book. But as you look at verse 2, Paul began his journey on an Asian vessel, and it says that he entered into a ship of Adramidium. And this ship, if you study and you know anything about it and what I've read, that ship was an Antiochian vessel. It was from Antioch, okay? And we get our version or the version of the Bible. They were first called Christians where? In Antioch. And you get your scripture from that. So Paul was on the right ship when he was going. And the first thing that I would say tonight is that we're all on some ship. We're going in a direction, and whether you're saved, you're not saved tonight, I would assume that most that are here, we're all home folk, it looks like, and we would profess salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you may be on a ship, and hopefully you're on the ship that Jesus is definitely the captain of that ship. He's the one that you've trusted in for your salvation. But we may be on a ship and going in the wrong direction and doing the wrong things. In verse 3, the Bible says that Paul, it says, the next day we touched his side, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. You know, Paul has liberty. As we go down through this, we're kind of do a little Bible study too. Paul had liberty at this point in his trip. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And liberty to go into his friends and refresh himself. And you know, there's a lot of times we come to church and the Spirit of the Lord is not there. We haven't prayed for the Spirit of the Lord. And there's not liberty for the Lord to work in our lives, work in your life, work in my life, work in the lives of others. And we kind of restrain the Spirit a little bit because we're not prepared for the things that God has for us. Paul was on the right ship at this point. He went in and he was given that liberty to do the things that he needed to do and refresh himself. You know, I come to church to get refreshed from the things that are out in the world. Because the world does enough to take me down and bring me down to where I don't want to be. I want to be around the people that love God's Word. I want to be around those that sing the songs that give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be in the presence of people that love the Lord Jesus Christ and have a genuine love for me. The world has a fake love that's out there today, folks. It's fake. It's phony. And the things that are there and the things that they show, they don't know real love. We studied it this morning. We were studying in the book of Genesis 22 and talking about Abraham and Isaac and how he had a love for Isaac. You know, you can tell a lot by a man by what he loves. What he shows, what he loves, you can tell by what he loves and what he fears. The things that he fears. And we have a fear, you know, those stupid signs that people put on their cars. No fear. Well, you better have some fear of some things. You better have a healthy fear of the Lord is what you better have a fear of. And the things that God has given to us. But Paul has some liberty there. What did Patrick Henry say? He said, David ought to know this. Give me liberty or give me death. We ought to have a genuine liberty when we come into the house. God has given you liberty today. He gave you liberty when He saved you. He broke the bonds of Satan off of you, and He gave you liberty in the salvation that you have today. You're free from the things. You're free from the things of the devil. And we don't get excited about it. And we don't rejoice in the things that we have liberty in. We have liberty in our country. We have liberty in our churches to speak and to proclaim the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we don't take advantage of the liberties that we're given. We don't do that. But Paul had that liberty. Now, he ain't always going to have this liberty, and those that are with him aren't going to have the liberty when we go down through. And as the story goes, Paul ends up changing ships. I don't know if you know, and until you read it and you study it and you open your eyes to it, Paul had to change ships. And in doing so, we see how the story changes and it unfolds as you go through the rest of the chapter. And we're not going to have time to go through the whole chapter tonight. That's why I only read down to verse 11. But if you look in verse 2, and entering into a ship, it says, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. Now drop down to verse 6. It says, and there the centurion found what? A ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and what? He put us therein. Now notice the vast difference in the tone. They entered into the ship up in verse 2, and they were put in the ship. Somebody else had control of what was going on. They didn't have control of what was going on. Somebody else was in control of what was happening. And God wasn't. God was in control. We know that. God had a plan. But there was, the control wasn't of the guys that it should have been in control. You know, you're in control of your spiritual welfare and the things that are there. The one that's sitting beside you is not in control of that. It's you. Each and every one of us have control of that tonight. You made the determination tonight whether you were going to come to church tonight or not. You know, you could have said that you weren't going to come. And if you hadn't come, then it would have had an impact on somebody else that would have been around. And the ship in verse 6 there, where's it going? It's going to Alexandria. It's going to the corrupt side. And that's why I mentioned Antioch in the first at the first of this. Because your corrupt versions of the scripture and the things that you hold, they come from Alexandria. That's the root of where those are coming from. And you and I tonight, we gather some things, we take some things that are from the world, and the things that are bad, we get on the wrong ship, and we're going to see here in the later verses that it's a slow process. We don't see the process that's coming and how the devil lays out the snares that are there and lays out the things in our life and we don't see the pitfalls that we end up falling into. But the tone changes and they get on the wrong ship. It says they found a ship. A ship. There was many ships. And let me tell you, there's a lot more ships that'll take you down the wrong road. There's only one ship that's going to take you in the right direction tonight. Jesus is the only door that you're going to go through, that He's going to take you in the right direction. His way is the right way, and there is no other way, folks. And we can get all the different Bibles. You can talk to all the different people. You can play all these things on TV, all these feel-good preachers, all these people that want to make you younger, all these people that want to make you feel better and do all this stuff. Jesus is the only way, and God's Word is the only thing that's going to give you peace. You do not have peace tonight. If you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace. And you will never have peace. You've got to make peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 7, look at verse 7, and when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus. Slowly. It's a slow process. You know, when when I slide and when I get in a backslidden condition, it's not immediate. And it's probably not immediate for you either. It's a slow process. And it occurs over what? Many days. And you know what? You get to the point that your heart gets so hard to some of the things that are of God. Your heart gets so hard to some of the things that people are going through. You hear about people being sick. You hear something on TV. You hear about murders. Who was it the other day? I went and talked to a guy over in Lexington. I was getting a part for my dryer. And the guy was telling me, he's like, Lexington used to be, he said, I love this place. He said, I grew up here. He said, but you can't turn on the TV of a morning. He said, there's not somebody's been shot or been killed over here every night. And I told him, I looked right at him, and he professed salvation. I said, that's a lack of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, people have lost their love for the Lord. And I said, we live in a world today. I said, buddy, you better be getting ready for the rapture. I said, it's coming. He said, I'm ready for it. And I said, thank God. And we just see that it's a slow process. We see it in our own community. I see things that didn't happen. He just talked about it in Estill County. It was dry for years. Places that you know, things that you saw, that you see today that you would have never seen back when we were growing up. There was things that were, if you saw some of the things that were going on in schools today back when I was growing up, man, I would have been ashamed. I would have got my rear end beat when I got to the house for the things that are going on. And it's a slow process. It didn't take place in a week or 2 weeks. It took place over years, folks. It's a slow process. And we let the devil creep in. It creeps into our marriages. You know what? That's why you got to keep your marriage strong. Your love for that one. You do what you did when you got married the same as you do 20 years later in your marriage. That's why it's a slow process. You lose that love for your mate, and things happen in your life. That's why you do those things for that one that you make a commitment to for all those years. And you made a commitment to God. It's a slow process when you start falling away. Proverbs said, Solomon said, the backslider in heart, he is filled with what? His own ways. And that's when we get away from God. And it occurs over a process of many days. This ship was going, and over a process of many days. Solomon also said in Proverbs, he said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Verse 8, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Hardly. The ship encounters some hard places. There's some rough roads out there for us to go. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. You know, it takes, sometimes some of us are hard-headed. Real hard-headed. Some of us have a harder head than others. But I tell you, I was a hard-headed one. It took me a while to learn. But I finally learned. God had to break me down a little bit. Had to break me down like a shotgun and show me that He was the boss and I wasn't the boss. Our kids need to see that they're not the boss either. And that's what's wrong with the generation that we live in. And they see that the hardness of their hearts, where it's got them. I see where it's got most of them. And we see that that hardness continues, and it just there comes a point in time when God's going to be done with that hardness. There's going to come a point that He's not going to hear that anymore. He's not going to hear the prayer of, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. There's going to come a time, and I wouldn't ever want a time where I couldn't go and have 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I wouldn't want to be to the point in my life where God is tired of hearing what I've got to say to Him because I'm not doing what I should be doing. And in our lives, we wonder why they're in the shambles that we're in. You talk to them every week. I talk to these people, and there's the ones that you try to disciple. Well, this is going on, that's going on, and this is going on. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? Why aren't you in church when you can be in church? Why aren't you reading your Bible when you can read your Bible? Why aren't you doing some of the things that you need to be doing? And you wonder why things are so hard. You wonder why these things are so hard. And James, he talked about that in chapter 1 of the book of James, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But those who embrace the things of this world, they're in love with the world more than they are with their Creator. And they're in for a rough ride. But at this point, the journey that Paul is on, at this point in this portion of Scripture, it divides into two parts. And some decisions are going to be made. And you've got to make some decisions tonight, too, folks. We make decisions every day. Well, some of them are good, some of them are bad. And I don't make the right decisions all the time either. But I want God to help me in the decision-making process that I've got there. And in Paul, as it divides, and what we've just discussed, the second half is going to be life-threatening and dangerous in the verses to follow. You're going to encounter some things. And if you stay on the wrong ship, it's going to become life-threatening and it's going to become dangerous. We talked with a boy yesterday. We sat right in his house. And we told him and looked him dead in the eye and told him that what he needed to do and give him good counsel. And whether he followed, I don't think he followed the counsel that we give him. And I guarantee you today he's reaping the product of what he sowed last night and what's going on in his life today. And it's sad. And there's a world of them out there like that. And it breaks your heart. It breaks my heart. And it ought to break every Christian's heart to know that there's those that are out there. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now, when much time was spent, he said, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Paul sensed the danger that was there. Every week, somebody gets up in this pulpit and tells you of the danger that's going to follow for not following the commandments that God has given you. Somebody perceives the danger that is out there. Kids, your parents perceive the danger that is in front of you. That's why they give you direction on what to do. And Paul sensed the danger that was there. But look what he said. Look at these words, these three words that he said. With hurt, number one, and much damage, number two, not only for the lading of the ship, but also for our lives, number three. He used three very important words in those verses that he used there. Now, I go back over to the book of James, and I got to thinking, and God just, sometimes I get to thinking, and I'm not thinking on the right track. I may be off the track. I stay off the track more than I do on it sometimes. But I know that he said lust, sin, and death. When a man lusteth after something, then he's going to sin. And then when sin cometh forth, it bringeth forth what? Death. It brings forth. And LSD and the things that are there with it. But if you look at that, lust is going to bring forth some hurt. You start lusting after things that you don't need and God don't want you to have, it's going to bring forth some hurt that's there. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt probably you in some form or some fashion. Then it's going to bring forth sin that's going to bring forth damage. When we sin, it damages our lives. Sin damages your life in some way each time you sin. When you sin, it's causing damage to somebody. But you know what? It damages your life too. There's people's lives that are wrecked because of the sin that's in their lives, folks. It's sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. And why we don't understand or why we don't follow the practical principles. I can get up here and be the best orator that there is and be the best preacher and tell you just the deep things of the Bible, deep theology. But we can't get the practical things of Scripture. Why do you preach the same message week after week? Because nobody pays attention to what I preached last week. Nobody knows what was preached last week. Nobody, I guarantee you, half of our congregation, maybe you can, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, couldn't tell you what Brother King preached in the morning and preached in the evening last week. And I'm not asking you to tell me, but, you know, that's a good test. I know one thing that he told our Sunday school to do. I wonder how many people went home and did their testimony. That hadn't done a testimony. Nobody in our Sunday school class raised their hand that they had done a testimony that I knew of. I wonder how many did a testimony. Your testimony is important. Your testimony is a way for you to witness to somebody and tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Your testimony ought to be important. And if you say you haven't done it, well then in my opinion, you've sinned. Because those that know to do right and doeth it not, to them it is sin. And there are some things in life that are just sin. And don't tell me you didn't have time. We've all got time to sit out and write out two or three sentences. You wrote a check for paying for something. You did something. We've wasted time in our lives on the things that are of the world than other than the things that are for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings hurt, it brings damage, and it affects your life. It does. It affects all of our lives, how we live. But spiritual men and women perceive the danger and they steer clear of it. It talks about separation and sanctification. Separating yourself from some of the things that are of the world. And too often we're joined up to the things that are of the world. I love baseball. I love all the things of sports. I tell you, I'm a sports. If there was one thing, if I wasn't a Christian today, I'd probably be a sports junkie. And that's what I do. I love sports. I'm not good at too many of them, but I love them, and I like them all. I like vehicles, cars, drag racing, you name it. I love sports. I just love competition, and I love trying to do that. But you know what? You've got to separate yourself from some of that, and you've got to see what's important in this life. And the older that I get, the more important that I see that it is for living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day is important for Him and not for me and not for Kim and not for any. It's important for me to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Him to be pleased with my life and what I do for Him. Now notice the last verse that we looked at and we read. Nevertheless, most of the time it's good when you read it in the Psalms and you read it in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, the Lord always seemed to forgive Israel for what they'd done. But in this context, it's not good. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things spoken by Paul. I thought of Luke chapter 18 and the rich young ruler. What did he call Jesus? Good master. He said, good master, what must I do to go to heaven? And Jesus, what did Jesus look at him and say? He said, why do you call me good? And as I read and I pondered on that, Jesus, he ought to be the master regardless. He is your Savior, number one. He is the one that can save your soul. And he is your King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And but the master of this ship is the wrong master. They were looking in the wrong place. And there's a lot of us that are the master who we say is the master of our lives or the Lord of our lives. He's not really the Lord of our lives. We're living our life. The guy was preaching on the TV this afternoon down in Corbin or somewhere. I just happened to have it on there. Man, he was preaching on the rainbow and talking about how they'd taken God's covenant with Noah and taken that covenant and just destroyed the covenant and made it something that it was never intended to be. And how true that it was. And people that claim that God is their Savior and that they're a Christian. He should be our God and the owner of our heart tonight. He should own your heart tonight. Just as we like to say that our wife or our husband, they're the owner of our heart here, God ought to be the owner of your heart in the life that you live. And we see that we get on a ship. And you know, I don't like titles. I've never been a big title person. But I put on here, don't make a Titanic mistake. That's and we do. We live our life sometimes. And it's unreal to me, some of the things that I did. I'm so ashamed of what I've done in my life. Some of the things before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I could spend years. I know God's forgiven me for those things, but I still know of the wasted time and the things that I did that I could have done to have been a better example. All of us could have. And while we've got time, I do not understand why we make some of the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. Paul got up and said, sirs, I perceive that there's dangers ahead. Every week we hear sermons from somebody behind this pulpit that says, sirs, I perceive that there is danger ahead. You better be making preparations. Tonight, you and I ought to be making the preparations that we need to make to avoid some of the things. Now, the end of the story, the ships tore all to pieces, but guess what? Everybody lived. And you know what? That's a picture of God. So this whole world is going to be destroyed. And you know what? But God said he's going to save you and I if we trust him as our Lord and Savior. We have the comfort of knowing that. But I don't want to waste the time that God has given me here to earn the rewards that he has on the other side for me. God has promised me some good things. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll be there also. He said, I'm going to prepare. I get a mansion. And man, I don't want a mansion. I'll probably sweep it. I hope he puts a sweeper in it for me. I hope he lets me clean it. I hope he lets me shine it. Because I promise you this, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to be a servant of sin for a season. I love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and I hope that you'll see that you need to get on the right ship and not be tossed to and fro with the waves that are out there from the rest of this world and the things that are going on. God will bless you if you let him bless you as we stand to our feet.